The destruction in Ferguson following Michael Brown's death was considered by many to be a catastrophe, but to our next guest, it was an opportunity. Carol Swartout Klein is by training a journalist and marketing executive, but the Ferguson native had always wanted to write a children's book. The aftermath of the Brown shooting gave her that chance, and the result is the very colorful and inspirational Painting for Peace in Ferguson. The title is only partially explanatory. Carol Swartout Klein joins me in studio to talk about her book. Carol, so nice to have you with us. Congratulations.
Thank you, Don. It's really great to be here.
It's a wonderfully colorful book, and it really does include a great many messages that we all should be reminded of more than just one time. Why don't you describe what the book is and how it came about?
Well, the book came about, really, it is telling a story of artists and community members that came together just days after the fire to do something to show that their community wants to come together and to make their community better.
And as artists, they did what artists do. But in terms of your book and its format, it really kind of the line that is drawn throughout is a poem that you wrote that kind of puts it all together.
Well, and that was the decision. I went up there. I saw this happening just spontaneously the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And I just thought it was such a great story. And it was so impactful to the people who were actually doing the work. And as I thought about how could I capture this story, the idea of a children's book occurred for two reasons. One, as your previous guest was just mentioning, there's a lot of kids that were really traumatized and scared. And I thought this hopeful message could help provide healing. And in addition, I think that it's by doing a children's book, you have the opportunity to tell a story.
We should point out, as you did just before you went on the air, that the book is being used as part of those healing kits that Scott Bonner was talking about.
Yeah, that was our first donation. We wanted to get that into the hands of all the children in Ferguson. We're also going to be working with the school districts. And in fact, actually, we have a website, paintingforpeacebook.com, and on that website are additional resources for parents. The goal of the book is to begin conversations, and we've seen that happen very effectively.
I should point out, too, that any profits from the book are going to be turned right back into the community, correct?
That's correct, and beyond just Ferguson, because much of the damage happened in Delwood, the whole North County area has really been affected.
And yet this whole thing for you got started in South City.
Well, yes, the artists started in South City. Mm. I was not really that familiar with it. Like I said, when I first saw it when I was up in Ferguson, I wanted to go up. I wanted to see what could I do to help. And that's one of the key messages of the book is we all have a paintbrush. We all have something that we can do to help and just get started, even if it's just engaging in conversation.
You know, one of the things that impressed me about the book so much was the quality of the art. I mean, this isn't just a bunch of kids splashing some paint on some plywood. This is really very, very well-conceived and very well-executed artwork.
Well, there's a range. You know, we wanted to show that there was a range of people. Certainly, there were lots of children involved, and we feature a lot of the children in the book. But there were also professional artists. One of the artists is a very well-known national artist, Lisa Sanditz, and she has had major shows in New York galleries. Her work is even featured in museums.
Were the artists simply drawn to the situation, or were they recruited somehow? How did all of this happen? We're talking a lot of artists.
Yeah, there were 300 people. We feature over 140 works of art in the book. Mm. And, you know, like so much today with Twitter and social media, the word just got out. And I think people were wanting to say, what can I do to help? And so this was one way that a lot of people, and some people literally just saw it happening like I did, maybe jumped in with a paintbrush. In my case, giving me a paintbrush would not be a good idea. But I thought, well, I can do a book. So that's the way I decided to help. And other people just went and got coffee and donuts and helped out in other ways.
Well, you had some other inspiration as well, from what I understand. That would be Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' fame.
That's right. And that was really some of the thinking behind doing a children's book because he has a quote that says, when you see scary things, look for the helpers, because there are always helpers. And I think kids get that. Kids understand the idea of drawing a picture to make someone feel better. But the art itself has some really compelling messages, and it's got quotes from Martin Luther King that really can even be talked about on an adult or middle or high school level as well.
Do you have any sense, and I know the book's only been out for a month or so, any sense that this has actually started any conversations?
We just had a reading generously from St. Louis County Library last Monday, and we were only supposed to go for an hour. It was all adults, and we were only supposed to go for an hour, but it ended up going for an hour and a half. And one of the key themes that came out of that is, you know, how do we get involved as an ordinary person? I mean, it's wonderful that we have got so much effort. You mentioned on your news clip about what's happening in the Missouri legislature. It's great that we have commissions looking at these difficult issues. But I think that ordinary people want to help. I mean, go and contact Scott Bonner, help out at the library, get to know folks. I have, in addition, one of the other resources we have on our website is a listing of Ferguson businesses. I'm encouraging people, go up there and shop. You know, it's great. People are going to restaurants, get your tires changed, get new glasses. There's a bike shop. But while you're up there, have a conversation.
Hmm. Well, you are a I don't say a lifelong Ferguson resident, but you grew up in Ferguson, correct?
I grew up in Ferguson. So, you know, the store where one of the really great Martin Luther King quotes, darkness cannot overcome darkness. Hate cannot overcome hate. Only light and love can do that. Used to be the Ben Franklin store. I got my first set of jacks and my first knitting needles there. So my husband and I were married at Ferguson Presbyterian Church. So, you know, it's home. It's my hometown. And I just wanted to do what I could to help.
One of the pieces of art that I was struck with, which you have in your book on page 27, as a matter of fact, is they thought they could bury us. They didn't know we were seeds.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, too. I just think it is very reflective of so many issues. I mean, there's so many. I can see English teachers having a lot of fun assigning that as a something to write an essay about, because you can talk about it as civil rights struggles. You can talk about it in terms of the city of Ferguson. You can talk about it on just a number of levels.
Another of the things that struck me about the book and the photographs, or photographs, and of course the artwork that we've been hearing about, was the age of the artists. All young people, with very few exceptions, all quite young.
Well, there was really actually a range. There was, I mean, I have a picture of a, I don't know how old this nice lady is, but I would say she's upwards of 70 years old. I mean, it really was young and old, black and white. We even had some Cubs fans come in, drive all the way in from Chicago. So my point is, if Cubs fans can make a difference, then certainly the rest of us can as well.
How many of the artists would have come from the community? Do you have any idea?
I think it was a mix. I think that many of the community members sort of got drawn in to the event. I think there were a lot, the people spearheading it were those who were trained artists, and they really came from all over the region. But I would say probably 50-50.
What it's hard to you talk about scores of pieces of artwork that you include in your book. But is there a general theme? Did you find that there were dots being connected throughout these things? Or were they fairly separate, if you understand what I'm saying, in terms of messages delivered?
Well, we tried to, in the book, we tried to sort of group things thematically, but it was really individual expression. And when I go and do a presentation or talk to children, I really encourage that. And we even have some coloring pages that can be downloaded. It's hard to show on the radio, but they can be downloaded from our website.
We'll have a link to that website, by the way, on ours at stlpublicradio.org. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
But the idea is art can convey things that words really cannot. And I've talked to a number of art therapists. In fact, Dana Sebastian Duncan was an art therapist from Ferguson that was very involved in the effort. And she recruited a lot of youth and young people to get involved because it's very therapeutic. I mean, really, in some ways, this whole effort was art therapy for an entire community.
I wonder what's going to happen to the artwork when the plywood comes down.
There are a number of organizations that are interested in looking at it. I know the Missouri History Museum has some. I know that the Contemporary Art Museum is interested in looking at some. My goal, though, I knew this was temporary. So what I did was capture a complete photographic record of all of the artwork. So we really have a complete archive.
Our time is winding down, but we had indicated earlier on in our discussion that some of the profits from the book are going to be used back in the community. How are you going to do that? Where is it going to go specifically?
Well, we're looking at various organizations. You know, there's a lot of effort coming through, and we're going to try to pick ones that really are effective and focused on youth and education in the community, as well as small business recovery. You know, one of our goals is really, as you mentioned, sometimes the good news stories don't get out. We would love to see this picked up on a national level. The sales locally have been phenomenal, but I'd love to see it get out beyond St. Louis.
In 15 seconds, has this whole project changed you?
Yes, I think it has. I think it's really been incredibly rewarding, and people have responded in a very positive way.
Well, it's a great book, folks. Look for it. Painting for Peace in Ferguson. Carol Swartout-Klein is our guest. That is the book, Painting for Peace in Ferguson. And when we come back, we'll continue on the general subject area of Ferguson and the arts with LeVar Burton, the actor who inspired countless kids to read. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.